Praise God. Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well and God is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study in Ephesians chapter 6. And we've been seeing the discourse of Paul speaking about putting on the full armor of God and encouraging the saints to be stable, to stand, to take their stand against the forces of darkness. You know, warfare in the spirit or spiritual warfare is not a place where we are fighting because we need victory, but we are fighting from a place of victory where we know that Christ has won the battle for us, and our job is to effect it, our job is to stand on it, and our job is to stay in that place, knowing that God has given us a place of victory, a position of victory, and we are called to stand firm. So Paul has been praying and asking the church to pray for him. You know, Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, or an ambassador in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make all things known to you, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So yesterday we were able to speak about utterance, and we spoke that this utterance goes beyond just declaring or preaching, but it's actually the expression of the Logos. And we saw that the word Logos there is the word that John uses for referring to the divine expression of the Christ. And so there is a language that God gives us to communicate him, to speak about Christ, to display him, to be able to demystify the mystery of who the Christ is and the anointed one and what God has done in Christ to reconcile the world to himself. And when God opens our eyes to this mystery, then we will see our union in Christ, what God has done in Christ to unite us to him, to make us one with him. The Bible tells us they that are joined to the Spirit, to the Lord, are one spirit with him. That union with the Spirit of God is what makes us to be effective believers. But one of the things that stands out after he prays for utterance is that he cries out that he may have boldness. You see, boldness is an aspect in the Spirit that is necessary to effect the work of God. You know, boldness means a certain courage, a certain grace that enables you to stand before men, knowing that you are not standing on your own capacity, but you are standing on the grace that the Lord Jesus has placed before you. If you think about it, think about the apostles, you know, in the early church, when they faced the persecution, and they were told by the leaders of the Sanhedrin never to speak again in this name. Then they take a prayer and they start to pray together and they ask God, God, why do the nations rage? You know, why do they plot against your anointed one? And they cry out and they ask God, Lord, we ask you for one thing. Let you us preach the word of God with signs, miracles, and wonders. Perform this and give us boldness that we may be able to proclaim the gospel. And when this boldness is granted, the Bible says the place where they were praying was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the believers, the early church, they prayed for that boldness. And this is a boldness in the Spirit. You know, you can be outwardly timid. You can be outwardly weak. But you see, when your spirit is bold, It means that there is an infusion of courage. There is an infusion of the Spirit of God within you that enables you to face anything that comes your way. Anyone that casts out devils knows that there is a boldness that comes within you that casts out the devil. There is an anger. There is a jealousy for God, a righteous anger that when you encounter the works of darkness, you speak against them in boldness, knowing that God has made you bold. God has given you infused courage that enables you to stand against the forces of darkness. So for us to communicate Christ, we do not communicate Christ from a point of weakness. You see, if you think about the ministry of the law, speaks about priests that have infirmity. And that is why they are not able to be bold. Why? Because when the priest has infirmity, he cannot speak about against things that he is still struggling with. You see, the priest has to first offer prayers for himself before then he offers prayer for the people. And if he goes before the inner chamber, according to the law of God, if he was full of iniquity, it is possible that the Lord could strike him there and he has to be pulled out. And for that whole year, the people would not be forgiven. But you see, the ministry of the Spirit, and this is what the Bible speaks, that there is a boldness, that we have a hope that gives us such a boldness in the ministry of the Spirit, in that we have a priesthood that does not come from us. The priesthood that we have comes from Christ, and Christ is our high priest. He's the high priest and apostle, and our apostle. That means he's the one that has entered into that sanctuary. He does not need to enter time and time again to offer the blood of bulls and rams for the forgiveness of our sins, but he has entered once and for all to offer his blood, this precious blood that was shed without this blood that was shed before the foundations of the world were laid, a blood without sin, a blood without blemish. This is a blood that was shed, that he took to that inner sanctuary. He offered it eternally. And this is the blood that speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. So the priesthood of Christ is one that is that gives us a boldness in the Spirit, knowing that we do not come to God based on our own infirmities or on our own weaknesses, but we come based on the perfection that Christ has fought for us, that Christ has wrought for us through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. That perfection in the Spirit is what gives us the boldness. And that's why the book of 2 Corinthians says that we approach the throne of God with a boldness, knowing that we are ministers of Christ, ministers of the new covenant. We are brought in to that place where we can cry out to God, where we can speak out to God, where we can have no fear, knowing that we are cleansed by the blood, we are justified, we are purified, and this boldness in the Spirit enables us to communicate the doctrine of Christ, to communicate the mysteries of Christ, knowing that we are not judged based on ourselves, we are not judged based on our weaknesses, but you see, all these things that would hold us back are laid aside. They are taken away in Christ. Every weakness melts away in Christ. Why? Because God is in you and you are in God. So when God is in you and you face the devil, then that's why the Bible says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when the devil sees you, he sees you in God, and he sees the God in you that is chasing him away, and he runs away. And when we approach the Father, we are in Christ. So God sees Christ as we approach him, and he says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So we do not have veiled faces. There is a boldness that we have in the Spirit that God gives us when we come to him. And that is why he says that boldness may be given to me, that as I make the mystery of the gospel, that I may speak it as I ought. You see, when you approach people and you look at their faces, many times it is possible to be scared. It is possible to worry, what would people think about me? Or what will it be? But you see, when the boldness of the Spirit comes upon you, it's like what Isaiah speaks, that God has made my face like a stone, like a flint, that I will not be shaken. There is a certain courage that God gives your face, that you can look at men and you can tell them, look here, you're going to hell. If you don't repent, if you don't turn away from your sin, if you're not found in the place of prayer, if you're not found in the place of worship, if you're not going to be committed to the things of God, you are joking with your destiny. That is the boldness of the Spirit. The boldness of the Spirit is necessary for the preaching of the gospel. There is no one who is going to preach the gospel unless they have received this boldness of the Spirit, this courage that makes them look away from their own infirmities. But you receive an infusion of the Spirit of God. And this Spirit of God enables you to make decrees, enables you to make declarations, enables you to fight the forces of darkness, enables you to conquer, indeed enables you to have faith in your inner man. And that's why he says, I pray that you may be strengthened with power in your inner man. Dunamis, there is a power, there is an infusion of boldness. And the Bible says, when they prayed for boldness, the place where they were praying in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that gives us boldness. And that's why Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He tells them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons set by my Father, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The boldness of the Spirit comes from the power that he gives us, that we can pray for boldness, such that when we have the boldness, we speak it as we ought. We don't speak because we are fearful. We don't speak because of men, but we speak as we ought to. There is a need for boldness. Think about it, how the Sanhedrin, and when they looked at Peter and John as they spoke, and they wondered, where did this man get all this courage? Where did this man get this boldness? And they marveled and they said, this man had been with Jesus. If you have been with Jesus, you will be bold. If you have been with Jesus, you will not look at yourself. You will stand firm. You will declare the power of God. You will declare the counsel of God. You will declare the victory of God. The church today needs boldness. Boldness in the Spirit. Because we are facing a world that is opposed to the truth. There is a world that is opposed. Anything that you do in the church nowadays is opposed. Be it on the internet, you can write anything nice, but whether you like it or not, people view it differently. Heaps and heaps of abuse. But there is a boldness that comes in the Spirit that says, you know what? I will put my face forward. You can spit at me. You can pull my beard. I will give my back to my smiters. And this is what Isaiah 50 verse 5 speaks about, that the Christ said he willingly gave his back to those that were going to beat him. He gave his cheek to those that slapped him. He gave his beards, his honor, to those that would pull his beards. But you see, he knew that this was part of the suffering that was needed for our redemption. And he says, if anyone must come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Hebrews speaks about going after Christ, taking up his shame, going to him in the outer court, carrying his shame. Many are not ready to suffer shame for the gospel. And that's why you can see how he speaks that I am an ambassador in chains. Paul says, of which the gospel, I am an ambassador in chains. You know, when we think of ambassadors, what do we think of? We think of people moving with vehicles, with V8s, you know, with all the security, with the protection, with all the resources. But then he speaks of this other kind of ambassador, who is the ambassador that is in chains. You see, Paul's ministry, or rather, Paul, before he was Saul, prior to him being Paul, he was Saul, and one of his chief missions was to arrest believers. In fact, he left Jerusalem with letters from the high priest that he is going to look for people of the way, arrest them, bind them with chains, and bring them for trial that they might be thrown into prison. So he already had a prison ministry, which was to arrest Christians, to put them in chains, to tie them up and to bring them to prison, to drag them into prison, and to have them undergo trial and even death. He was the one at the stoning of Stephen who people put their clothes before him. He was guarding their clothes while they go to stone Stephen because they don't want to stain their clothes. He was the one that keeping them and affirming that. Jesus meets him on the road to Emmaus, to Damascus. And on that road, he encounters the Christ. And the light shines on him and he hears the voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Lord, who are you?" And he's told, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Don't you know it is hard to kick against the gods, against the pricks?" And he was told, "Go into the city and you will be told what you must do." So Paul starts a journey of going to the city, and he's praying and fasting for 3 days, and God commands Ananias to go and return his sight, and he goes and he prays for him and he receives the Holy Spirit, and immediately Paul starts to speak the gospel. Starts to preach in Damascus, and people wonder, no, was this not the man who came with the authority of the high priest to come and arrest those who were preaching the way? And the Jews that were there plotted to kill him. He takes off. He goes all the way to Jerusalem. He tries there, but then they will not receive him. So he has to leave. He goes to Tarsus. Eventually from Tarsus, he comes back. And he goes to all these places. And in each and every town, we see that he faces persecution. He is thrown in prison. You know, he casts out of the slave girl the spirit of divination. And before you know it, they are thrown in prison. They are tied with Silas, Acts 16, verse 16. But as they sang songs and sang praises, the angel of God came and their chains fell off. And God wanted the jailer and his family to be born again. There is a purpose that prisons and chains were serving. They were serving to reach out to other prisoners, but also to reach out to the jailers. Think about it, Acts 20, when the Agabus comes and speaks to Paul and tells him that, "Oh, the Lord has shown you by the Spirit that the owner of this belt will go into, you know, into this, whoever, into Jerusalem, is going to be tied up both hand and feet." And they try to persuade Paul not to go. And Paul says, "Haha, don't you know? Why are you breaking my heart? Don't you know that I am ready for chains? I'm even ready to die in Jerusalem." He tells them that, he tells the Ephesian leaders when he's telling them farewell, that "I am going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit." That means he is already in chains in the Spirit. The Spirit has bound him, and he says the Spirit bears witness to me that in every city tribulations and chains await me and prisons await me. This is the apostolic of Paul. And it's clear, he knows that chains There is a boldness that God has given him that it doesn't matter what he faces. It doesn't matter what comes before him. There is a courage. There is an infusion of courage in the Lord that enables him to stand up against the works of darkness, against the forces of the enemy, against the demonic attacks. He says, I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. Why? Because he is an ambassador. You know, an ambassador is someone sent with a message, as a representative of another kingdom to another kingdom. When God says we are ambassadors of Christ, as if God was making his appeal to us, to the world, to asking the world to be reconciled to him. We are from the citizenship of heaven, and we are sent to the earth as ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of God. God is making an appeal through us. Think about it. Paul is saying that, yes, I am sent by God, but I am also sent through chains. And you see, these epistles that we are reading, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these are letters that are written by Paul when he is in prison. So he is in chains, and he says that, ever since I have been in the Roman palace guard, under the Roman palace guard, it has become known to everyone that I am in chains for the sake of the gospel. Paul is in chains. He's under house arrest. But he uses that opportunity to preach to everyone, to his soldiers, to those that have arrested him, to the entire palace guard. And they are convinced that this man is in chains for the gospel. And he says also in another place that the gospel is not chained. You see, the gospel will never be chained. You can chain people. You can arrest them. You can throw them in prison. But the ambassadors in bonds know that, first of all, they were already bound in the spirit. It is Christ who arrested them. That's why Ephesians 4:1 says, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. He already knows he is a prisoner of the Lord. There is a place where you know that you are arrested by the Spirit of God, that it does not matter your surroundings. It does not matter what surrounds you that does not agree with you. There is a boldness in the Spirit that God gives you, that allows you to wash your face and look at men and tell them that, you know what, I stand for the truth. And the truth is that Christ is the Son of the living God. I stand for the truth despite the consequences, despite the trials, despite the attacks from robbers, despite the chains, despite the abuses, despite the, you know, the troubles that will come our way, there is a boldness that enables us to overcome the chains. And that's why he proudly says that I am an ambassador in chains for the gospel. Think about it. People are in prison. Paul is in prison, but he is praying for the churches. Think about it, how the Philippian church decides to honor Paul by sending to him Epaphroditus, who is coming to join Paul in prison to take care of his wounds, to take care of his needs. Many people want to be servants of Christ, but they're not ready to pay that price. What kind of men are these that understand that the gospel must be preached by all means, be it in suffering, be it in death? That's why Jesus said, if you're not ready to leave father, mother, brother, sister, you're not worthy of me. There is a place of separation. There is a place where even Christ himself, his brothers and his sisters come and they want to take him away. And he tells them that, my brothers and sisters are these ones that are hearing me and that listen and obey what I say. It's a call to remembrance today, to remember those who are in prison. Hebrews 13 tells us that, remember those who are in prison and pray for them as if you are with them in that prison. Let us remember those in prison. Visit them, especially those for the gospel. Remember what Jesus says, that whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers that you do unto me,
Think about it. Remember those in prison. Remember those who are sick. Remember those who are abused, those who are in trouble. There is something that you do for the Lord when you remember them. As believers, yes. Among us, there are those that are in chains. There are those that are persecuted all over the world. Remember them. Pray for them. Give in whatever way that God enables you. Send your word. Send your truth. Send your grace. That God will be with them. The boldness in the Spirit enables us to face whatever trials, enables us to face whatever difficulties that come our way. And I pray to you this morning that God will give you that boldness in the Spirit, that you shall know that you are called to greatness, you are called to advance the kingdom, you are called to make a way, you are called to make a difference, you are called to stand in the full armor of God and be a kingdom agent. Influence in the marketplace, influence in your office, influence in the church, influence among the young people, influence in your clan, in your community, and you shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I pray that God shall keep, sustain, and watch over you. God shall provide for you. God shall make a way for you. And we pray for those in various pains, in various trials for the gospel. That God, your hand and power shall be with them, strengthen, watch over them, keep and sustain them, O God. We look unto you, you are mighty, you are faithful, you are holy. Blessed Redeemer, may your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed day.